Hello, it's Richard Lannan here for Set for Success. And listeners out there, welcome to the show. Today we're going to continue our discussion on what it is or what it takes to be successful in your business, in your career, in your life. But first, the Set for Success thought. Losing it. The dancer slows her frantic pace in pain and desperation, her aching limbs and downcast face aglow with perspiration. Stiff as wires, her lungs on fire with just the briefest pause, the flooding through her memories, the echoes of old applause. She limps across the floor and closes her bedroom door. The writer stares with glassy eyes, defies the empty page. His beard is white, his face is lined and streaked with tears of rage. 30 years ago, how the words would flow with passion and precision, but now his mind is dark and dulled with sickness and indecision. And he stares out the kitchen door where the sun will shine no more. Some are born to move the world to live their fantasies, but most of us just dream about the things we'd like to be. Sadder still to watch them die than never to have known it. For you, the blind who once could see, the bell tolls for thee. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that before, Losing It. It's actually written by a very famous Canadian group, Rush. Geddy Lee, Neil Peart, and Alex Lifeson. They wrote that song or put it down to ink on paper years and years ago. I just find that that song itself or the words in that song are just written so well because it often reminds us, it just reminds us of the things we've dreamt about doing in our lives and maybe, just maybe, we've never stepped up to the plate to do it. Now, one of the areas of the lyrics that I really love, or the poem I really like, if you could say, this writer stares with glassy eyes, defies the empty page. Have you ever looked at a blank sheet of paper? Have you ever just looked at it and maybe picked up your pen and took ink and put it to paper and started to write something down? Maybe you started to write your own poem. Maybe you started writing a book. Maybe you've even thought about writing a book. Maybe you've thought about defying the empty page in some way and stepping up and doing something in your life, something that you've always wanted to do. I think the song Losing It sort of reminds us of that, that you know what, we can still step up and live our fantasies and our dreams and just maybe it's time to put ink to paper. Maybe you're thinking about it. Well, you can sort of guess what our show is going to be about today. It's going to actually be about writing a book, right? Writing a novel, a fiction novel, writing a nonfiction piece, basically anything that you've decided that you wanted to create. And we're going to do that with our guests today. And our guest today is Les Klecky. And Les is a writing coach and author. And he's helped a lot of authors actually write books. We're also going to be speaking to Pat Hurst, and she's on the phone. And Pat is an author of a brand new book that's coming out. The book is called In a Perfect World, Interpersonal Skills for Life. And it's actually an incredibly interesting read. So let's get our show on, or let's get our guests on. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome my first guest to the show, Les. Les, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be back on radio. Great, loving it already.
You're loving it already. Yeah, I know. You look like you're right at home and everything. So we'll talk a bit about that because I know you have a background in radio, and I'm sure I'm going to be critiqued at the end of this particular show.
Well, we've been here once or twice before.
And also on the line is Pat Hurst. Now, Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. Okay.
I'm actually very excited having you on. I had the opportunity to have a porch conversation, standing on my steps, regarding your book and everything, and then I've had the opportunity to read through it too. So I'm looking forward to dialoguing on that. So let's go back to Les a little bit. I always like to start the show off with getting our guests to know who, I guess, having our audience know a little bit about who our guests are. Let's tell the people a little bit about who you are and what you're all about.
Well, we alluded to the radio history, and I spent 15 years in radio as a farm broadcaster and doing an awful lot of interviews. And then I moved on to the speaking circuit and wrote about, seven or eight of my own books that I used on the speaking circuit and helped promote my business. And then one day, a dear friend of both of ours came by and said, you know, with your background, you should write books for people.
Okay.
Because of the background of doing the interviews. I used to do 4 interviews a day for my radio show, so I was familiar with the interview process, had written a few books, and he said, you should be writing books for other people. And that's how I got started with the ghostwriting and doing books. And then there was a need or a request for book coaching. So that's when I kind of cut back on not ghosting them entirely, but help people through the whole process.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, it's quite the background to actually go from radio to writing your own books to being a ghostwriter and to being a coach or a writing coach. We're going to continue with talking about that a little bit more. And I'd like to find out a little bit about Pat. Now, Pat's on the phone with us. So Pat, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started my career in sales and transportation, and I always say when you're in marketing and sales, it is communication and conflict resolution. That's what it's all about. And I worked across Canada, and one time I went to a workshop in Vancouver where I was working at the time, and a woman talked about communication and conflict resolution, and she really changed my life because she started talking about really fair ways to resolve differences. So after 10 years in sales and marketing, I moved from Vancouver back to Winnipeg, and I took my certificate in mediation.
In mediation, and then started the whole process of learning how to work with other people and developing your communication skills?
Well, developing my communication skills and really helping people resolve disputes in a way that was fair. And because often it isn't. It's often a person with more power. It's often someone who's can talk better or faster or is more influential. And so, and I think lots of times we don't tell people what we're really thinking.
Okay.
And so we hold things to ourselves that could influence somebody if we just told them how we really feel. So, and I really felt in the mediation process that really invites people to speak and communicate in a way that you can't always do yourselves, having that mediator who's objective.
That makes a lot of sense. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Les Klecky regarding getting published, and we'll talk more about communication and the publishing process also with Pat Hurst. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan back for Set for Success, and we're going to continue our discussion now actually about writing a book and getting published and our expertise and the knowledge that we can actually share with other people. And I'm fortunate to have with me today in the studio Les Klecky, who has been a ghostwriter and is a writing coach. And Les, I think myself that everybody has a book in them. What are your thoughts on that? Do everybody have a book in them? We've all heard that before.
Everybody has a book in them. 80% of the people say that they want to write a book.
Yes.
80% of North Americans say that they would like to write a book.
Okay.
4% do.
4% do. So what happens with the group in the middle between the 16% there?
They die with the book in them.
They die with the book in them.
So
I don't
everybody
know.
Has
That's
a book
so
in
nice.
It. Now, why are they writing a book? Some of them are obviously for commercial reasons.
Sure.
Some of them are cathartic if it's a part of a healing process. Some people never plan to publish a book. I worked with an Olympic gold medalist who had no intention of ever publishing the book. He said that he just had to go through the healing process because 3 hours after winning the gold medal, your life has changed completely, and you don't know what you're going to do. You've spent 8 years preparing for that moment, and now you have to get used to life after.
Wow. You know what? That's interesting because you're using the winning example, but we could go the other way with that. I mean, a person could experience some major tragedy in their life, too, and then literally within seconds after that, your life goes another direction.
I've worked with an 80-year-old lady who decided that it was time to share her secret about being molested by her brother when she was 10 years old. And now, 70 years later, it was time to go through the healing process. And what she taught me was that it was a process. Forgiveness is not an event. It's a process.
It's a process to go through in terms of life. Interesting enough, I think Pat mentions that in her book, too, regarding a process. So maybe Pat, you can just comment on that a little bit, because I believe there's a chapter later on in your book that speaks just to that.
Yes, absolutely. Forgiveness is such a personal thing. because we all experience things differently. And I'm not surprised that Les says that it took someone that many years to be able to face it, because some things we keep buried. But it is an individual process, and it's really about letting ourselves deal with it and just move on and not be weighted down by what's happened to us.
By what's not happened to you. Yeah, forgiveness, I would agree, is a process, too. I think throughout my life I've had to forgive a few people. And I got to tell you, sometimes it was not easy. But you bear a lighter cross afterwards, if you wish. Les, I want to go back to this whole part of the book writing process. Now, I believe you can break it down into a process, that there is a way to actually approach getting a book out of you onto paper.
Absolutely, and that does so much for the success for actually getting a book done, is if you have a process. So if you'll give me 60 seconds, I'll share with your listeners how they can write a book and they can get started tomorrow and be done by the end of August.
Well, I got a few more seconds than that. So
a book is roughly 50,000 words,
yeah.
in my mind. That turns out to be about a 200-page book. So that's 50,000 words, but that's too much to write if you don't have a process, if you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, that could be extremely overwhelming, right? I mean, the idea of 50,000 words, it'd be like,
words.
Oh my gosh, what do you mean 50,000 words? I haven't written 50,000 words since I graduated high school. Ever.
Ever. So sit down, make a list of 25 items, the 25 most important items that have happened in your life, if it's a business book, 25 concepts that have helped you achieve that point. If it's your biography, the 25 most important incidents in your life. And now you've got the table of contents.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is that like the chapters?
Those are going to become chapters. So
okay.
Now you should be able to do that in 20 minutes. Sit down and make that list, and that's a living list. It might change. Some of those might divide into two. Some of those might merge, but at least you've got to start. Those are your chapters. Each chapter is going to be 2,000 words long. 2,000 words is still too much. That was an awful long-term paper in university.
Yeah.
So let's break that down into four parts: an introduction, a story, the reason, and the impact. We'll write 500 words on each of those parts, and we've got a chapter. Tomorrow we can do another one.
Okay, so you just break it down into a principle. Now that was introduction, story, reason, and impact.
Impact. So I call it ISRI, and I'm not able to copyright that name because there's a company in California that already owns that name, and they happen to be a waste disposal company. So if you Google or search ISRI, it comes up with a trash company in California.
Well,
so
I guess if you're going for the healing process, you could say you're sort of throwing
out the
trash.
No, we don't go there at all, Richard. We don't use that at all. That's just a memory crutch that we use set up the chapters. And now you break that down into the most you can make is about 3 points in each one of those sections. And when I work with people that I'm coaching, we go through it and develop an outline, and I give them a word assignment that says use 150 words for this, use 200 words for that, use 150 words for that. So then they're only writing two or three sentences to each point. And that's very manageable.
As opposed to 2,000 words, as opposed to 50,000 words, you can actually just break down the whole process and make it work for you. That's really sharp, actually. Generally, how long does it take a person following the process to write a book?
Well, I've worked with Sammy Jo Small, who many people will remember from the Canadian women's hockey team, and she wrote her book in a month. Through that process every single day. We would talk in the morning, and she would write her chapter in the afternoon.
Okay.
So she did it in 1 month.
In 1 month. Okay, so that's 1 month. How about on the other side? What's
typically,
the norm?
Typically, people do a chapter a week. So then it takes them 6 months, which is still pretty good compared to what you're doing now.
Well, they actually say, interesting. I was having a discussion with author Annie Dalen, and she was telling me that a lot of professional writers, the ones that are writing professionally for content books, right? I'm not talking about fiction. I'm talking about nonfiction. They seek to put out a book every 6 months, right? And so that follows that whole process.
If you do a chapter a week.
Yeah.
in 6 months, you could have 24 chapters.
You could have a book.
You're right there.
You could have a book. You know what? We're going to continue. This is Richard Lannan. We're going to continue our discussion with Les, and we're going to bring Pat Hurst back into the program right after the break. And we're going to talk a bit more about the writing process and Pat's experience as a writer, because she's a writer, and also her book. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and today we're chatting about what it takes to be successful in your business, your career, your life, from a publishing perspective, from actually writing your own book. Have you ever thought about it? You know, maybe from a perspective that you've experienced something in life where you've been highly successful, you've won something, and you want to share what it took to actually do that. Or maybe you've experienced something in your life where you have to go through a healing process, and you want to write about that too. Maybe the book is for your family, for your own business, your own personal life, or maybe it's to be published and shared out in the world. Maybe you have a novel that you want to write and you have characters all planned out. There's a whole process to go through to actually write a book. And that's what we're talking about today, from the idea that as a writer, you defy the empty page. You know, you start with something blank, a blank canvas. Oh, now I'm into painting analogies. As a writer, you start with an empty page and you go from there. So our guests today are Les Klecky, and he is a ghostwriter and also writing coach, and Pat Hurst. She is an author of the book In a Perfect World, and we're going to talk a bit more about that. Also, when my guests come back, we're going to do the Set for Success tips and thoughts, the things you must do to be successful in your business, your career, and your life. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and I'm back with my guests. This time, we're going to talk to Pat Hurst. Now, Pat is on the phone, and we're going to talk a bit about her book, In a Perfect World, Interpersonal Skills for Life. Pat, I'm just so excited to chat with you about your book. Tell us a little bit about what your book is all about.
Well, Richard, my book is all about really how do you have a great life, both professionally and personally. And my thesis is that really what it takes is you need great relationships. And you can't have great relationships without being a really effective communicator. Because I think lots of our relationships tank because we just communicate in ways that are off-putting, or we say things we really don't mean, or we don't say things at the right time. And as a mediator, I've sat through thousands of hours of people who have been in excruciating circumstances, and they didn't really mean to be. They just didn't really talk to each other in a way that worked. And so I spent 2 years doing nothing but workplace mediation, and I thought, man, I wouldn't live long if that's all I did, because it can be very stressful. And so I got on the preventative end in training and even went further writing this book, because I want people to do the best they can, and everybody can do it. You don't have to be an expert to have things work out well.
You don't have to be an expert. I know you put a strong emphasis in your book on communication. One of the things I thought was quite interesting, well, there was a couple of them, actually. There was one segment which I just, you know what, it caught me right away when I looked at it, and it was like a little sticky note, and it was right at the beginning of your book, and it said, "Give me all your money, I have a gun." Could you explain that to us, please?
Yes. Well, what I was using that as an example about choices that we have. And I spent 5 years in banking. And when I took my original teller training, our trainer said to us, imagine if someone came up to your till and slid a note across that said, "Give me all your money, I've got a gun." And they asked, "What choices do we have?" And you know, there's lots. You can run, you can scream, you can give them the money. And what our trainer suggested is give them the money, because we want to keep everybody safe. That's
sure.
The goal. And so what we want to do in communication, like in life, is make the choice that gives you the best odds of meeting your goal. And so in the case of the bank robber, give him the money, because we're all going to stay safe. Yeah. And so that's really the philosophy, or really a model that you can use of all the choices that you have in any moment in interacting with a person. What's the choice that you can make? What can you say? What can you do? And how can you say it that gives you the best odds of things having positive consequences?
Now, I know one of the other questions you posed too is, what is happiness? And that's been one that's been on my mind lately, too. I mean, you know what? I bet you, for a lot of our listeners, I bet you it's on their mind. And I think you speak to that a little bit in your book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. First of all, I think, you know, the whole idea of a perfect world, my idea of a perfect world may be very different than yours. And so what is happiness? What is perfection for us? And what makes us happy? And one of the things I've done in the book is quoted a lot of research that's out there. I tried to make it simple for people to tap into some of the best research and thoughts out there. And Paul J. Zak, who wrote the book The Moral Molecule, says that for the average person, that the things people rate most highly when pursuing happiness are having a good romantic relationship and many friendships, having a job that you like, enjoying the community that you live in, and having a level of income good enough to reduce the stress of just getting by. And so for the majority of us, that's going to give us a lot of happiness. But to pursue those things, you need to think about what you want, your goals, and then how to get them.
And how to get them. It's, you know, it's interesting you would say that, because I know another question you posed too is, who are you? And that was actually quite a fascinating piece too, because I suspect that actually connects right on with your happiness too.
Absolutely. Well, I think the fascinating part for me is, in communication, we're the ones that are putting meaning on everything. And, you know, perception is reality to us, but we may not always be in sync with what's really going on with other people. And so, you know, the perception you have of the world is, my glass half full or half empty. You know, there's some people that could win $1 million and still find 10 reasons why that's so awful, you know. So it's about how you look at things is really important, and who you are and what you believe in impacts everything.
Everything in the world overall. Some of the key skills in communication, I mean, I know that in part three segments you talk about relationships and communicating with others. What are some of the key things for communicating effectively with other people?
Well, certainly I talk a lot about where you can be on a continuum of passivity, assertion, and aggression. And so that's part of your outlook on life. And if you're passive, you kind of let other people do what they want. If you're aggressive, you demand that your interests are met. But if you're assertive, then you have a balance of looking after your own needs and interests as well as other people's. So you see the world from a more of a respectful point of view and a more of a fair playing field. And I think that really influences how you behave with others and even how you communicate and your tone. So one skill is, I think, developing assertion. And if you want to know more about that, look at the book, read the book. Another skill is just being an effective listener. Because we like to talk a lot in our society, but we don't always listen. Yeah. And we don't always pay attention.
Yeah,
so
there's some books and some stuff out there that says, you know, our society is really geared towards extroverts and not introverts. And maybe we should listen to the introverts sometimes, because those are the people that are really listening.
Absolutely.
They hear what's going on. Yeah. You know, that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, I had the opportunity to read through your book. And you know what? I enjoyed the read. It was a book that was very easy to read, which I think that's a hallmark of a good book, actually. It's one that challenges you, but lets you to read too, through it and everything. Now, you went through the whole process. Now, from speaking to you before, I think you used a coach to help you through the process, didn't you?
You happen to know my coach.
Who's your coach?
My coach is the fabulous Les Klecki.
Yeah, who's actually on the sitting in the studio with me today. I'm hoping that was a really good process. So we just got to plug in for you, Les. But I'm hoping that was a really good process. And I guess in about 10 words or less, how would you describe that process?
It was life-changing. And Les gave me the gift of again, emphasizing one of the key words that's come up in our whole conversation this morning, which is process. Everything is a process. And, you know, if you want to talk about success, there's always things that stop us from doing what we can do. Okay. And Les gave me the gift of saying, don't worry about what's going to come in the future, because if you don't have a book, then you've got nothing sell or market anyway.
Okay.
And he just kept reminding me that it's a process.
Okay.
And
with that thought, we're going to actually take a short break and come back and do the Set for Success thoughts and tricks and tips, the things you must do to be successful in your life. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Richard Lannan back for Set for Success, and Man, am I excited. I mean, you know what? I hope it came across my voice. I am actually excited because this is the opportunity that we do the Set for Success tips, thoughts, experience from our guests. Did I say that a little weird too? I guess I did, but that's okay. So you know what? We're going to start off a little bit with Les Klecky. And Les is a, if you have just tuning in, Les is a ghostwriter and book coach and quite an experienced guy. So Les, what would be one of your first tips for our listeners?
Have a process. And that's why when I've worked with athletes in writing their book and you give them the outline that we mentioned earlier in the program, they follow it and they're used to a training program and they know what they're doing. So, but we can develop that process for anyone. And as Yogi Berra said, you don't need a map if you don't know where you're going.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it.
Get the destination, and let's figure out how to get there. Yeah, Have a process.
What the steps are in the process to actually get there and apply what you spoke about earlier on. Pat, what are your thoughts about have a process?
Oh, absolutely. I think a process is imperative in anything that you do. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah, that old statement comes out and everything, too. And I actually agree. You know what? Listeners, I've put together a manuscript also. Mine's not 50,000 words. It's 45,000 words. Set for Success happens to be the name of the book. But it's going to come out shortly. I know. We always have to do this, right? But it is, you know what? It took a process to get that far. So I have to say that, yeah, you have to follow a process. Pat, what would be one of your Set for Success thoughts?
Well, I've actually got two, but I'll give you the first one, and that is the power of coaching. And Les was my coach. It doesn't always need to be a formal coaching. You know, you don't always need to go hire a coach, but that's a wonderful thing to do. But to have accountability with another person. So one of the things I always tell people is that, unfortunately, we are, as human beings, we're more loyal to other people than we are to ourselves sometimes.
Yes.
And if you make a commitment to your coach or a friend that I'm going to write a chapter or I'm going to walk a mile with you, you're more likely to do it. Yes. For somebody else because you don't want to let them down. And so when you commit to somebody else, you commit to yourself as well.
You commit to commit to getting things done. Yeah. Now, the reality of it is, and I have lots of guests that come on and say, have a mentor or a coach. You can have a coach for other purposes other than, we're talking about writing a book. Like, what are some of the other areas you can have a coach that actually help you out?
I have a business coach
that
I go to help me run my business, and I can ask the questions that I need there. I don't have to make all of the mistakes on my own. Some people have already made those mistakes, and I can learn from them. And it does give me the accountability because now I have the idea of where I want to go. I've spoken to my coach about it.
Yes.
And I know that he will hold me to it.
Yeah, so you get some help from another person. How about yourself, Pat? Have you ever used a coach in another situation other than in terms of working on and writing your book?
Well, I certainly use a fitness coach.
Okay.
I get a personal trainer, and I love that because they are experts, and they encourage me, tell me what to do, and it helps me get towards my goal. And I think the hardest thing in life today is setting time aside to do what you want to do. And so part of it is you make the time to make things happen.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important one, too, is that sort of booking things in and everything. Les, if you had another Set for Success thought, what would it be?
That you have to have balance in your life. We've talked about how to decide how to get the roadmap to get places, but when you're making the overall map for your life, make sure that you have some balance in it and that you allow some time for fun. And you can, I just think that refreshes you and you can work so much harder, at the time that you are working. So just include the balance in the whole plan and be honest with yourself.
It's funny you would say that. I was actually sitting around with a group of friends and one of my friends said, you know, everybody at this table are type A's. We're all workaholics here. Who here has balance in your life? And everybody had to be honest and say, you know what? I've had to learn how to actually have some other things in my life outside of my work. So I think that's a pretty important actual lesson for anybody at any point in life. Pat, I'm going to give you another opportunity. You said you actually had two thoughts to actually share. What would be your other one?
Well, the second one is don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do. Don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do.
Okay, and what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that for a book, for example, you think, oh my goodness, how am I going to market it? How am I going to get it printed and distributed and converted into all the different formats that it needs to be in? And you know what? Don't worry about that at the moment. What you can do to start with is write the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And so get the book written. And in life, we maybe one of the things I found is I couldn't use every quote that I wanted to or that kind of thing.
Yes.
Because there's limits on what you can do. And so, again, well, if you can't use that quote, use one that you can use, you know. So don't let the things that you can't do stop you from doing what you can do.
What you can do. It's interesting you would say that because I suspect when you go through the writing process, what you end up learning, I know Les said earlier in the program that there's 50,000 words as a book and everything, but I bet you most people write more than that, and they probably discover that they got to take a lot of stuff out.
Richard, I had a lady that called me and said that she was ready to start on her book, and in fact she had started, and her introduction was 7,000 words.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how did you come up with it? Yeah, and that was virtually a quarter of her book done already. So she just didn't know when to stop. So
okay.
You know,
that's a heck of an editing process there.
Yes,
and when I was incidentally when I was done with Les, I was up at 95,000 words. I still didn't know when to stop, but at least I had something to edit, and I took it down to about 80 eventually, about 3 processes.
Is your book 80,000 words right now?
Or in that neighborhood,
it is.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like you almost had a trilogy going on there.
Yeah, I could have done a Lord of the Pats or something. I don't know.
We're looking forward to beginning work on Pat's second book later on this fall.
The follow-up version.
Did I ever mention coaches pressure you sometimes?
Okay, so a lot of fun sort of going through some of these thoughts and everything. I mean, I think these are great things. Have a process. Make sure you can't, you know, what you can't do doesn't stop you from what you can do. With some of the actually tips and things. This is Richard Lannan. We've been doing the Set for Success tips, thoughts, and tricks from our experts here, Les Kletke and Pat Hirst, who is an author. We're going to just take a short break. When we come back, we're going to give you some information how you might be able to connect with some of these people here, just in case you might want to chat with them. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan back for Set for Success. You know, I really love the show that we had today. We got to talk about and chat with two guests regarding publishing a book, you know, writing, defying the empty page is the way I sort of phrase it in the monologue. So how do you defy the empty page? How do you put something to paper? And so if you want to actually connect with our guests, so first guest was Les Kletke, and Les is a writing coach. So Les, how would somebody connect with you?
Global Ghostwriter, he has a Facebook page, and it's a globalghostwriter.com is my web on the internet. But if you want to talk to me, 204-437-3077. It's a personal relationship that I want to build.
Okay. Pat, I know you're on the phone there. We only have a few seconds left here, and I need to close off. Pat Hirst, author of In a Perfect World. Pat, if somebody want to talk to you about what you do, about writing a book and or what you do, how would they connect with you?
Go straight to pathirstbooks.com, and that's Hirst with an H-I-R-S-T. So P-A-T-H-I-R-S-T books. All my information, including a phone number, is there. And if you want a copy of the book, you can purchase it through 35,000 different websites, and most of the portals are there on that website.
Well, on the podium. Fantastic. I want to take this opportunity to thank my guests for joining me today and also for thanking the listeners. Now, this is Richard Lannan. You can connect me with richard@braveworld.ca. Again, thank you for listening, and you make it a great day.